Dermot and Dave on Today FM. That's Shawn Mendes and Nothing Holding Me Back. We got a lovely Snapchat in from Lola Joy, who is cheering on the Tour de Pants, and she's in her cycling gear and getting ready to come out on the streets somewhere between Dare and Care and cheer us on. Really appreciate that, guys. So you can Snapchat us anytime you like. We are Dermot and Dave on Snapchat.
And the Dermot and Dave Tour de Pants for Today FM's Dare to Care kicks off just after the show today, after 12 o'clock. But part of Dare to Care is hearing your individual stories and inspirational they are. Noelle Clancy is a mother of two who actually worked at the Suaveness Cancer Support Centre in Nenagh in Tipperary and volunteered for the Irish Cancer Society for many years. But then she herself discovered a lump in her own breast just before her 38th birthday and has gone through the treatment. Noelle, thanks for joining us here in lovely County Limerick today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good so far, because we haven't done our cycle yet.
Yeah,
so
I'll talk
fine.
To you. Yeah, I can't wait to hear you tomorrow morning.
If we make it in.
Squeaky bum time.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Now, tell us about your story. So you obviously were working in the environment, helping people, offering support, and then suddenly you found yourself in the same boat.
I did, and a little bit of background on it. The whole irony of me being here in Adair actually was I used to work in Adair Manor.
All right.
And my GP that I went to here in Adair actually showed me how to do a breast check, which is kind of really funny. Diving out here, I was going, thinking of all the things that happened to me in my life and why they happened, not getting very philosophical here now or anything like that. But so I suppose that was always there for me. And I had decided just for a short length of time to become a full-time mother at home. And then I was asked, would I do a little bit of volunteering in the local Suaveness Cancer Support Centre? So I suppose the importance of that for me was it made me hugely aware of, I suppose, the prevalence of cancer, the types of cancer, how people lived with cancer or were going through treatment or survived it, and what happened before, during and after cancer. So in a way, I was kind of lucky that I had that experience, because it took the fear factor out of it for me when I was diagnosed.
Ask you that. So when you were diagnosed then, it's obviously still going to be a massive shock, but did you feel more prepared?
Do you know what? I still never thought it was going to happen to me. I was just gone 38 years of age when I was properly diagnosed with breast cancer. And like all the tick boxes, the risk factors that are there, maybe when I was in my 20s, that was me. I was drinking, I was smoking, I was having the crack and eating wrong and all that kind of stuff. But by the time I was diagnosed, I was well past that, which is hard to believe. but two children will do that for you. And I suppose, I wasn't drinking, I wasn't smoking, I breastfed my children. I tried to take care of myself in as much or as I possibly could.
Yeah. So let's go into so you said that a local GP here showed you how to do a check yourself.
Yeah.
So talk us from that point to the diagnosis. What happened?
So I suppose from then on, I'm great at multitasking. You know, I was sitting on the loo and I was checking my breast one night after work.
Yeah.
And but even though a lot of people would say, mammograms or breast check, they don't necessarily help in diagnosing breast cancer. But for me, it actually did.
Yeah.
So I would be always telling people, check. If there's something weird or strange, or if they look different, or if they feel different, just go to your GP. Most times, in fairness, it isn't cancer. It's a cyst, or it's a fatty tissue, or it's something so innocuous.
But early detection is so important, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And for me, at the time I was diagnosed, there's a whole different variables in cancer and for breast cancer, it's the stage you're diagnosed at, what the grade is, what type of cancer you have, and that'll determine your surgery, your treatment, your outcome, your follow-up, and all that kind of stuff. So
your own story, though. So you found something that was unusual, and
then
you presumably went back to your GP.
So I gave it a couple of weeks. Being a woman, hormonal changes do affect your breasts, and I gave it just a couple of weeks, and I went back after the Christmas holidays to my GP.
And we worried at that stage.
Not in the least. I swear to God, I wasn't. I went in, I said, well, I found a lump, so I better go to the doctor, because you're meant to do that. So, and I actually was going to him about one other minor thing as well, and it was that first, and it was, and by the way, I have this lump in my breast.
Right.
So he checked me out, and he referred me directly into the breast cancer unit here in Limerick. And after that, things kind of happened really, really quickly.
Okay, so you went in, presumably you had a scan or maybe a biopsy or something?
I had a triple assessment. So they do the physical field, the examination. I had a mammogram and I had an ultrasound with a core biopsy. So what the core biopsy does, the ultrasound will determine where this lump that I had felt was, and they'll examine or do their little ultrasoundy job around that and go in with the core needle, and they'll take out a little sample and they'll assess that for...
And how long from the time that core biopsy is done until you get a verdict?
A proper diagnosis or a confirmation of diagnosis would be two. For me, it was 2 weeks.
Right.
For some, it might be earlier. For some, it might be later.
You know? Presumably, you're still not too worried at this point. Then you sit down in front of a specialist, I presume, and the conversation changes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that was, as I always say, it was definitely all picture and no sound. Mm. I was going, I hear, and I was on my own. At the time when I went down for my checkup or going in for the assessment, and that was really naive of me, because it's not that when you're referred to a clinic that it means anything. It doesn't. Like, it's there just to check you out, different than if you have a chest infection. You know, you just take care of yourself. But so I just presumed that was all going to be part of the crack, you know. And but at that stage, there was indications that I had breast cancer. She all but told me at that stage, like, she couldn't say, Noelle, you have it.
Sure.
But she gave me the lead up to it, and like, she was talking about surgery at that point, even on the day that I had been in for my assessment.
Well, so suddenly stuff started getting fast tracked, and presumably you were hearing blah, 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 cancer, blah, 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 and it's very hard to
four
take
out
in.
Of five. Yeah, it was like, you know, that distortion that goes on around you. It's like, here, hello. So what I would recommend, and it doesn't mean anything, if you are going into any of these things, Jesus, will you bring somebody with
bring
you?
Someone.
You
know? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a lot of people that we've spoken to say that it was the partner or the person they had with them that listened and heard all this, because they heard the word cancer, and then, as you said, distortion, silence, like internally you just start talking to yourself, and then it was the person who was with them that was able to say, when they got back into the car, go, okay, here's what the doctor actually said, you know.
A little bit of that. I suppose, do you know what, I'm a tough old nut too, even though I mean nobody's impervious to any kind of a trauma or upset. I was really upset, now I have to say, but I will say the 2 weeks between having that story or having that episode going on to get the proper confirmation was the best 2 weeks of my life. Now, it also, I nearly chawed me bloody gums off trying to keep me clenching my teeth for the 2 weeks.
Why do you say it's the best 2 weeks?
It gave me the time to process what may be ahead of me.
Right.
It gave me time to have a little think about what was going to happen. It gave me time to put things in place. It gave me time to research. It gave me time to talk to Jim about it. Mm. It gave me time just to get myself organised. You know, I kind of like that. I need to have things in my own.
Yeah. Were you stay-at-home mom at this point? Or were you working?
No, I was working, I'd gone back working in the local pub and restaurant up the road,
So you presumably just had to leave that, focus on getting better?
I did, because it was extremely physical and demanding work, that is. And the type of treatment that I had then required me to...
So what was your treatment? So you had an operation down your mastectomy, didn't you?
I had a node biopsy, first of all, so that confirmed that my lymph nodes were affected as well, so that would affect my treatment.
Okay.
I had a full mastectomy on my left side with immediate reconstruction. And then I had chemotherapy, followed by radiotherapy, followed by Herceptin, which is another treatment specific to my cancer type.
Did you lose your hair?
I did.
And how quickly does that happen?
2 weeks to the day from my very first chemotherapy.
Right.
My hair started falling out,
And is that, presumably you run your brush through it and suddenly it's coming out. I mean, what's that
my
like?
My fingers through it. Literally, I was in the car on the way home. My sister was driving me home from treatment that day, and I went, oh, here we are now. There's the hair out. And so what we did that night was we borrowed shavers from my brother, you know, those clippery ones.
All right, and just went for it.
And Jim Cleavens, I've shaved my hair, It kind of involved them, the process.
That's
too,
great.
Because, well, it does, we owned it.
Yeah,
you know,
I
wasn't going to let this bloody cancer determine how quick or how slow I was going to lose my hair.
Mm. Talk to us about the drugs, because there was a particular drug you used, and this is where we're into the area of donations and where money goes.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
I'm huge into research, because only for it we can't have better outcomes, and we can't change treatments, and we can't make life better for people who have had or who will have cancer, you know. For me, I had Herceptin. So thousands of years ago, there was this came on board, and it came to Ireland, I think, in about 2006. And the changes it made for me was that I was HER2 positive. And that means that my cancer was aggressive. So if I didn't have access to Herceptin at the time, there was a chance, there was an 85% chance that I would have had a recurrence of cancer. Whereas now, with the likes of Herceptin, and it probably has gotten better even since then, the way that they administer it, and there's other treatment that researchers through the Irish Cancer Society have worked on improving the efficacy of Herceptin, and for women who it didn't work on. So for me, the difference it made was going from 85% chance of recurrence down to, I think it's 15%, or maybe even 5%,
so
or
it
something.
Actually, it flipped, literally flipped 85 to 15.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And this came out of research that Irish Cancer Society was involved in.
Well, initially it probably came from the American model, but what the Irish Cancer Society has been doing is supporting researchers in delivering Herceptin even better to women who I didn't even realise that. I just presumed that if you were HER2, Herceptin was going to work for every woman. Right. I really did. You know, you kind of get cotton wooled a little bit, and you're in your bubble presuming, sure, I'm in treatment now and it's all grand. Mm. You know, I didn't realise that it actually doesn't really work for everybody either, and we've got to be aware of that and make things better for people who it doesn't work.
Well, that's what the research is all about. And how are you now today? I mean, you look fighting fit and healthy.
I'm really good. Now, I actually had reconstruction done again 2 months ago.
Right.
So I'm a little bit like the bionic woman. So
okay. And are you happy cosmetically?
I'm really happy now, yeah. I'm actually always happy. Having a breast wasn't the big deal, but, you know, having said it, it's kind of embracing my Pamela Anderson moment, you know.
Well, why not?
So, you know, if you got them, you got to flaunt them, which I won't do. Jesus,
it's okay, it's
please
radio.
Do
it's
not radio. Dare me to do that. Don't.
No, very
well, actually, do you know what? If you give me enough money, I would. Show me the money, I'll do it.
Well, money is...
On the radio.
Yeah, money is what we are after, and talking to people like you, Noelle, is why we're doing this, to let people know where the money they donate goes to, and things like the research the Irish Cancer Society can do to provide drugs like Herceptin is so important. So please, if you can, text the word DARE to 50300, donate €4. The Irish Cancer Society will receive a minimum of €3.25. The service provider is like charity, and the helpline is 076-680-5278. Text DARE to 50300.
Noelle,
can I give one little shout out? Yes, today is a really important day in our lives. And to the best man in Ireland, Jim Clancy, happy 19th wedding anniversary.
Oh, come on, Jim.
God love him. He actually has seen me through good and bad and stuck to his vows. He really has.
Well, I think cancer met a formidable opponent in you, Noelle. You're an inspiration.
Definitely.
Noelle Clancy from Nina in Tipperary, thank you so much for dropping into us today and sharing
your
story.
For letting me talk. Get the money out now, lads.
Absolutely.
That's it. Text
to 50300.
That's it. Today FM, it's Dermot and Dave.